up for 2012 because of the tax increase. Non-general funds revenue is going to be much more difficult because we're losing, I've talked about this before, we're losing federal funds with the end of the stimulus. And so the exact what will happen to the state's revenue, total revenue, is somewhat unclear, but I think it's going to be a very challenging time.
Could I just ask one question? David,
yes.
I'm over here.
Yes.
About your sort of the outlook, because am I correct that this week there was some more information that came out of the Fed that was, including the chairman, that was a little bleaker on how fast this recovery is going, and it related a lot to oil and gas prices?
Right. Well, national unemployment numbers are released at the beginning of June for May, and we saw a slight uptick in the unemployment rate for the nation as a whole. There's also a meeting of OPEC in which they authorized an increase in the price of oil, which we know that's already high, important to economic development. So the most recent news we're having about the economic recovery is bleaker than the news that I presented here. We don't yet know the full implications of that. We don't know what kind of federal response there'll be to that. But yeah.
And we hear often on the radio about how the gas prices in at least the Chicago area, I don't know if it's true throughout the whole state, are among the highest in the nation.
That's correct.
I wonder if we have ever tried to analyze any correlation there as it affects the Illinois economy. I mean, I don't know if we get, as gas prices go up, is there more state revenue generated because of gas taxes, or is that offset by?
Well, the gas tax is a per gallon, the state gas tax is a per gallon tax, but there's also a sales tax on the gas. I don't know what that does to state revenue, but a real problem with this, it takes money out of consumers' pockets. So mm-hmm. What they spend on gas, they don't spend on other things, that's a problem.
And maybe they don't spend it on tuition. So I'm somewhere in this mix of.
Yeah, I've never seen an analysis specifically about gas taxes in Illinois and the economy of Illinois.
Right.
Yes?
Sorry, real basic question. What type of expenditures are in general funds versus non-general?
Well, I wish I could tell you there was a clear distinction, but there isn't. Many of the core state programs, particularly Medicaid, much of the spending is outside the general funds. So it's very difficult. In general, most of K-12 education is in the general funds, but there's a lot of slop over. We've worked very hard to try and understand that, but it's not clear.
Yeah. I just go back to a question that I asked back in March that I think would be good to always include in this, is a summary of our deficits in the state, both from a normal budget as well as our unfunded obligation. I think we need to understand that perspective in addition to the perspective that you're bringing up here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I'll try and include that in future presentations.
I don't know whether this reporter and Waltz will talk about the state's capacity to pay us what they owe us for the expiring fiscal year. Is that Waltz?
I think Waltz will do a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Any more questions for David?
Thank you.
Walt, you have the floor.
Good morning, everyone. I want to start off by some good news. I want to supplement the report that from the Audit, Budget, and Finance Committee. Where I told them in connection with the revenue bonds that we were reporting out today that we had met with the rating agencies, both Standard & Poor's and Moody's, and that if I got the information with regard to the rating and what the rating agencies were saying about the University of Illinois by the time of this meeting, I would certainly inform the board. We received those calls yesterday afternoon, and S&P is affirming our AA- rating with a continued negative outlook. Moody's has affirmed our rating of a AA2 with a negative outlook also. Both of those, a situation where presentations were made in early May to both those rating agencies. I think when the final report comes out, and I certainly will distribute that to all the board members, the rating reports do come out from those two rating agencies. I think we got some pretty high marks for our efforts in cost saving and basically making some hard decisions in order to manage our way through the state situation. But probably the biggest reason we were not able to remove the negative outlook was, and they'll clearly say, it's the state. It's the state situation. essentially you're dragging an anchor, you know, with the state situation. So, and I think that'd be made pretty clear. And they also say that, you know, this is going to be ongoing. I mean, that they expect that the troubled financial situation for the state will, and we're going to have to deal with this for a long time to come. So, but anyway, I want to start off with that positive news when for this presentation. I'd like to, Ms. Joe, we'll go to the first. My segue from Dr. Merriman's presentation really is referred to the amount of outstanding bills, that billions of outstanding bills for the state at the end of this fiscal year. Right now, they're looking at a range of from $5 to $7 billion of unpaid bills at the end of the fiscal year, and including that will include our bills in that number. So, and I'll touch more upon that in a second. Reiterating what Dr. Merriman also said, there was an attempt to do some bond financing to try to an 8-year bond was proposed to pay off the bills, but it did not get much support, and it pretty much died. So any bond financing of this debt died in the legislature. The only other thing I would say that is of concern, additionally, is that the legislature extended the lapse period for six months through the end of the calendar year. What this means is that basically says they would stay legal in paying the bills of the state within 6 months after the end of the fiscal year. The normal lapse period for the state of Illinois is 2 months. So that probably forecasts a continued delayed payment situation with our billings. I wanted to take the piece out of, you know, Joe, we'll go to the next one, out of the higher education and focus on, you know, how we came out of this, or at least how we expect to come out of this last legislative session. Last year, higher education, $2.9 billion was the piece out of it. All of the, except for SERS, all the pieces are coming out of the general fund. You ask, you know, where does the higher education, there was a reference to the general fund of the state of Illinois, that's coming out of the general fund for higher education. This year, the amount for higher education is $3.07 billion. So that increase of $170 million, we have basically got the increase in SERS is basically making the biggest increase. Overall, if you take out SERS, there was actually a decrease in higher education of 1.6% or $35 million a decrease. SERS actually was increased to a statutory, an actuarial requirement to feed that was increased to almost $1 billion, about $200 million increase in the SERS contribution to the pension fund for state and university employees. Yeah. Just go down and just basically, I call this the Big Five as far as legislative outcomes for the university. First, the budget. The appropriation we did on the general appropriation, the general fund appropriation, we had a 1.15% decrease in our appropriation. That's $8 million. I finally got my decimal right. You know, I got $8 million. We go from 697 down by $8 million. You know, to 689 will be the reduction in the appropriation. Capital and the capital side. There was no new capital items coming out of the legislative session. The concern right now is, and it was touched upon by Dr. Easter, was the situation with the reappropriation of the capital appropriations. I think you may have read about it in papers, particularly the road projects, that basically they're worried about stopping construction our situation is such that Lincoln Hall, what's been going on at Lincoln Hall, there's a potential for that, if that's not corrected, that technical correction made to basically potentially stopping construction on Lincoln Hall. I understand the leaders are going to meet next week to try to work out that situation and hopefully, you know, improve that situation. As far as financial aid, ISAC, the MAP program, took a $17 million cut. When I reported to you in March, the governor was going for a $25 million increase in financial aid for MAP funding. And it ended up as a $17 million cut. So instead of getting a couple million dollars more in financial aid, we're looking at $1.5 million cut in financial aid coming to the university as a result of that. ISAC itself, I think, is again, I would just, you know, as long as I'm on this, that's where the money comes from. There are a lot of things going on with ISAC and the College of Illinois program. I want to just reiterate that we are at arm's length, you know, from ISAC and that operation. I want to make sure that distinction is again clear. Obviously, this is basically, as we go into our 2012 budget process, that those factors on financial aid take us another look at our supplemental aid that we give. And I think it's also important with regard to the scholarship program that was announced this morning to understand the situation with the state's financial aid. As far as grants, generally, we came out okay. We came out kind of overall neutral. There's some up and downs in extension, cooperative extension, but by and large, we came out okay with the grants, fairly neutral on the grant scene. I would say in all of this, I do not know, as of last night, whether or not any of this has been really put to the governor's desk as far as, you know, for purposes of him signing and consideration. And as far as we know, it actually has not, any of this has been advanced to the governor's for purposes of signature. My second one of the big five is procurement. We worked very hard. This is the Senate Bill 51 and the new regulatory requirements that we have on our procurement. We worked very collegially with Senator Harmon and Senator Schoenberg and their staffs with regard to some relief, responsible relief in some areas, particularly the hospital, and particularly the types of specialized needs of the hospital for their procurement research, particularly the needs that you have in a very technical areas. Also some things that really weren't procurements, that some cleanup items. But again, we got to the final day of the legislative session, and it just didn't, they just ran out of time. And we're gonna revisit this come the veto session. And the veto session this year will start earlier probably than it's ever happened before, probably October 24th, I think, is the start date for the veto session. Civil service, again, the Senate passed a piece of legislation that basically would have removed our exemption authority for the university to basically make determinations in hiring between civil service and academic professionals. The House really didn't really pick it up, and so it basically didn't move beyond what the Senate did. So again, whether or not that will be picked up in a fall session or a later session to be seen. Pensions, this is probably the thing that's got the greatest agita across the university. This is again the situation where university was employees were facing the change in pension. Basically, three options being offered to existing participants in the pension plan. One is to stay in the pension plan, the defined benefit plan, but pay a substantial additional dollars to participate in the plan. The option was going to this tier two, or the pension plan for new employees, the defined benefit plan for new employees as of 1/1 of this year. This would basically at lower accrued benefit and higher age for retirement, and much more severe discounts for early retirement. So, and again, that piece of legislation was essentially deferred, I think, and actually the leaders, Speaker Madigan, Cross, Representative Cross, and actually I think Ty Fainer from the Civic Committee actually signed the kind of the deferral letter on the pension. So we consider that, you know, it's still out there. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be revisited in the fall, and you know, that situation still is out there. The last of the big five, I think, is healthcare. I would just break this down into two pieces. One is the situation that's going on with Health Alliance. It particularly affects our employees down in the Champaign-Urbana area in central Illinois. This is the HMO that has been providing, and by our count, almost 10,000 university employees were in the Health Alliance program, and 9,000 dependents were in this program. And because of the bidding process and administrative process at the state, Health Alliance was taken off the board as basically being an HMO provider. And a number of pieces of legislation to try to overturn this have been put into play. Again, This is basically an outstanding issue coming out of the legislative session.